ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततं जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Okay, so we will discuss chapter 7 and try to do chapter 8 at least partially. Chapter 7, Lord Shiva saves the universe by drinking poison. So, from just a brief chapter breakup, verse 1 to 17, is a description of the churning, right? And the Lord's help. Lord helps in various ways. Then 18 to 20 is a description of the first product of churning, that is poison. Then 21 to 35. Prayers to Lord Shiva, right? So everyone approaches Lord Shiva, and then there is a 15 verses, 21 to 35 is prayers to Lord Shiva. Then next 5 verses, 36 to 40 is Lord Shiva consulting Mother Parvati. And 41 to 47, last 7 verses, glories of Lord Shiva's compassion. So in this way, the churning, description of the churning, then products of churning begin with 18th. The very first product was very dangerous, so the whole chapter remaining is dedicated to dealing with that poison only, right? Going to Shiva, offering prayers, then Lord Shiva drinking poison and he being glorified. So in this way, chapter 7th. Okay, so we go to text 1. श्री शुका उवाच तेनागराज मामंत्रया फलभागेन वा सुखिं परिवीया गिरो तस्मिन् नित्रम् अब्धिं मुदान्वितः आरेभिरे सुरायत्ता अमृतार्थे कुरुद्वः।
सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड, ओ बेस्ट ऑफ द कुरुस महाराज परिचित, द डेमिगॉड्स एंड डीमंस समोन्ड वसुकि किंग ऑफ द सर्पेंट्स रिक्वेस्टिंग हिम टू कम एंड प्रोमिसिंग टू गिव हिम ए शेयर ऑफ द नेक्टर दे कॉइल्ड वासुकि अराउंड मंदार माउंटेन एज ए चर्निंग रोप एंड विथ ग्रेट प्लेजर दे एंडेवर्ड टू प्रोड्यूस नेक्टर बाय चर्निंग the ocean of milk.
Okay, so they offered partnership to Vasuki, right? That will be giving you part of the nectar, right? So somehow Vasuki agreed. They phal bhagen Vasukim, right? So the allurement of nectar, Vasuki agreed. There is no, you know, easy job actually to become a rope for around the ocean for churning. And this Mandar mountain, what is the size of Mandar mountain? The span of Mandar mountain, check out, I guess is 1 lakh yojanas, Mandar mountain, right? Sumer is 1 lakh, Mandar mountain, right? Just check it somewhere. 10,000 yojanas, okay. So 10,000 yojana is a span, you know. So sir, you need a snake to coil around and also extend for the rope for, you know. So Vasuki was a big, huge serpent, you know, the king of the serpent described over here, Nagarajam. Looks like he could expand himself, you know. Also, these big snakes have many siddhis also, many mystic powers. Anyway, so, yes. So it's mentioned here that they coiled Vasuki around Mandar mountain as a churning rope, and with great pleasure they endeavored to produce nectar by churning the ocean of milk. Right? So in this world, there are two main inspirations for working hard. One is sound vibration, other is the sex attraction. Right? So the sound and sex, these two are the main inspirations for people to work hard. Right? In the material world, it seems that people work extremely hard for sex enjoyment. Right? So therefore, sometimes the devotee pray that let me have same attachment to hear about Krishna and serve Krishna, just like materialistic have for women, right? Rupa Goswami and there are other prayers also. So devotees pray like that. Let me have the same enthusiasm and attachment as materialistic have for sex life, right? So, go to text 2. Hari purusta jagre. Purvam devastato bhavan.
The personality of Godhead, Ajita, graced the front person of the snake and then the demigods followed.
Tannachandatya patayo mahapurusha cheshtitam naganimo vayam puchyam aherangam mamangalam Swadhyaya Shruta Sampanna Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhi.
The leader of the demons thought it unwise to hold the tail, the inauspicious person of the snake. Instead, they wanted to hold the front, which had been taken by the personality of Godhead and the demigods. Because that person was auspicious and glorious. Thus the demons on the pillar that they were all highly advanced students of the Vedic knowledge and were all forms famous for their birth and activities, prostrated that they wanted to hold the front of the snake.
Okay, so the demons protested. The demigods first went following Lord. They held the front portion of the snake. But the demons stood there. They said, no. Right? Swadhyaya Shruta Sampanna. Hum padhe likhe log hain. Aisa humko ullu nahi bana sakte. Right? They didn't hold. They said, we know. Ahe rangam mangalam. You know, naganimo vayam puchyam. This backside is a mangalam. We will not hold that. Right? So actually the Supreme Lord wanted, Prabhupada said actually, the nature of the demon is to do opposite of what the demigods do. So therefore the Lord purposefully went and held the front portion. And the demons, you know, then they protested in this way. And they claimed themselves to be very learned. So Dhyaya Shuta Sampanna, and we are very well read. You know, and we are also Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhi. And we are very famous, very prominent people. Right? So, we are more prominent, we should hold the prominent part and not the back part. Right? So, they reasoned in this way. Right? So, Prabhupada comments upon this nature of the demons to be always opposing the demigods. Prabhupada says that we have also experienced. Prabhupada said, we have actually seen in the fourth line this in relation to our Krishna consciousness movement. And then Prabhupada says how we are advocating cow protection and encouraging people to drink more milk and eat ice cream and other items, right? But the demon protests. So Prabhupada says they say that according to their scientific way, they have discovered that milk is dangerous and the beef obtained by killing cow is very nutritious, right? So Prabhupada saying they are just coming to the opposite conclusion. And then again toward the last line of the this first paragraph, Prabhupada again, you know, kind of mocks at this demonic attitude. Because if the demigods were going to drink poison, the demons would resolve. Why should we not share the poison and die gloriously by drinking it? Right? So like that. And then again, Prabhupada says, comments upon this word, Swadhyaya Shuta Sampanna, which the demons describe themselves, Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhi. If actually they are advanced in Vedic knowledge and are famous for their activities, right, and they are born in great aristocratic family, why should they be called a demon? Right? So therefore, as we know, Prabhupada over in points out that a demon is one who doesn't listen to the instructions of Krishna, who is against Krishna. He may be very learned in scriptures and everything else like that. That is pointed out in the beginning of second paragraph. Text 4. Iti tushnim sitandetyan ilukya purushottama smayamano visrijyagram cham jagraha samara.
Thus the demons remained silent, opposing the desire of the demigods. Seeing the demons and understanding their motive, the personal of Godhead smiled without discussion. He immediately accepted their proposal by grasping the tail of the snakes, and the demigod followed him.
Right. So the demigods were already trained by the Lord, right? So they just... So the Lord smiled, it's mentioned, right? Hearing the demon's proposal, smayamanu visrijyagram, smiling the Lord gave up, right? The front portion and they went and took the back tail portion. The Lord smiled because he thought, your own foolishness will kill you, right? Your own foolishness and pride will be actually cause of destruction for you. That's how the Lord smiled. X5, Kritsthana Vibhagastha Evam Kashyapa Nandana Mamantuhu Paramam Yatta Amritartham Payonidhim.
After thus adjusting how the snake was to be held, the son of Kashyapa, both demigods and demons, began their activities, desiring to get nectar by churning the ocean of milk.
Churning began. Text 6. Matyamane annave sudrir anadharo hayapo vishat dhriyamano api balibhir gauravat pandunandana.
O son of the Pandu dynasty, when Mandar mountain was thus being used as a churning rod in the ocean of milk, it had no support, and therefore, although held by the strong hands of the demigods and demons, it sink into the water.
So the mountain is mentioned. Ana adhar hi apo vishat. It had no foundation, so therefore it sank. So that's also one important lesson, that we may endeavor very hard, in any particular service, but if our foundation is not there, then we will actually fail in that endeavor. Right? Anadhar. And what is the foundation? Foundation is Sorry. Sadhana. See, all the five S of Vidyapeeth, right, can be considered foundational. Right? And among those five S, yes, sadhana and the seva are more prominent. Right? Sadhana and seva. Basically, one's hearing, chanting and rendering service. Right? So, our foundation is actually our connection to Krishna. You know, foundation is connection to Krishna. And that connection is established by our hearing and chanting about Krishna, which is sadhana, and by rendering service to the servants of the Lord. That also makes our foundation very strong. So the two can be highlighted among the five S. But all five S constitute a kind of a one's foundation. So go to text 7. Te sunirvinnam manasa parimalana mukhashriyaha asanswa paurushe nashte Devenati Baliyasa.
Because the mountain had been sunk by the strength of the providence, the demigods and demons were disappointed and their faces seemed to the servile.
Okay, so now when the mountains sank, both the demigods and demons is mentioned, they were disappointed. Right? So, again, important lesson here is, as long as we depend on our efforts to achieve result, we will be disappointed, surely. Right? And if we depend upon Krishna, right, we have to put the effort. We have to put the effort. But, while putting our effort, our dependence upon Krishna, then we will not be disappointed. So one amazing thing is, although Krishna is with them, the Lord is with them, right? Lord is right there. Still, they have more faith on their effort than upon the Lord. Therefore, they are disappointed actually. Right? If they had more faith on the Lord, they would not be disappointed. Right? So both demons and demigod, somehow having the Lord between them, still have more faith on their efforts. Right? And it's not so easy actually to depend upon the Lord. You'll see that how even we ourselves, unconsciously, we mainly have faith in our own efforts. Even in devotional service, we have more faith in our own endeavors and effort than actually upon Krishna. Right? It doesn't go so naturally, right? For a conditioned soul, that is very natural to have more faith in one's own abilities and efforts, right? Even though the Lord is right there, right? Quite surprising. Go to text 8. Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro Duranta Viryo Vitathabhisandhi Kritva Vapukachabam Adbhutam Mahat Pravishyatoyam Girimujjahara.
Seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the ultimately powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entered the water, and lifted the great Mandar mountain.
Okay, so the Lord, again seeing this obstruction which has come, the Lord who has Duranta Virya, if you see the second line, Duranta Virya, who has inconceivable power or insurmountable power, Duranta Virya, Kritva Vapu Kachapam Adbutam Mahat Pravishyatoyam Girimujjahara. So the Lord appeared as a Kachapa and went inside the water and lifted the mountain, which was almost sunk, and lifted the mountain up like that. So Lord Kurmadev, well, this pastime is glorified by Jayadev Goswami, right? What is the verse?
Shitiriha vipulatare dharani tav prishte dharani dharan kin chakra gariste.
Right? Prabhupada quotes that actually in the purport. Shitiriha vipulatare, last 5 or 6 lines if you see. And Shitiriha vipulatare dharani tav prishte tava tishthati prishte. Anyway, so Keshavadirta Kurma Sharira Jaya Jagadish Hari, right? So Lord Kurmadev, he is considered as a spiritual foundation. Right? Lord Kurmadev gives spiritual foundation. So if you see Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he gave deity of Kurmadev to Bhakti Dandara Thakur when he was known as Bimal Prasad to worship, right? So that he can have a strong spiritual foundation. Right? So there is a verse glorifying Lord Kurmadev in the last canto of Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 12:13:2. Verse is, when the Supreme Personality of God had appeared as Kurma, his back was scratched by sharp edged stones of massive whirling Mandar mountain. This scratching made him sleepy. May you all be protected by the winds produced by the Lord's breathing in this sleepy condition. Ever since that time, even up to the present day, the ocean tides have imitated the Lord's inhalation and exhalation by piously coming in and going out. The 12th canto verse. Right? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur very nicely says, he says, by meditating on the windy breath of Lord Kurma, all categories of conditioned souls can be relieved from the itching of material senses. Right? So the Lord, he felt the scratching, you know, and there was a kind of... when someone scratch, your itch is relieved, kind of, right? So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, by meditating on the Lord's windy breath, right, in this condition, one will be relieved of the itch of material senses, right? And one will come to the liberated spiritual platform, right? So therefore, Lord Kurmadev, meditating upon him, on this pastime, it gives us a spiritual platform and relieves the itch of, windy, because that breath produced the waves in the ocean, like a wind produced the waves. So windy means, Lord was huge, it was not a small Kachapita sky, it was 1 lakh yojanas, the Lord's back, as we shall study. Right? So his inhalation and exhalation is still dead, is imitated by the, he said, the waters of the ocean. Right? The ocean tides have imitated the Lord's inhalation and exhalation. So this is 12:13:2. One reference. Right? So, Prabhupada comments upon the nature of the demons and the devotees again. Like previously also Prabhupada had commented. So Prabhupada in fifth line says, the demon The fourth line, Prabhupada says, everyone has experienced that hindrances are imposed upon us by the Supreme Power. The demon regard these hindrances as mere accidents or chance, but the devotees accept them to be the act of Supreme Ruler. When faced with hindrances, the devotees pray to the Lord, Tatte Nukampam Susamikshamana. And then last three lines important, Prabhupada says, dangers can be created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and they can also be removed by Him. This is known to the devotees, but demons cannot understand it. So, very nice perspective, Prabhupada is saying. So here, the Lord Himself is creating, you know, in one way, the Lord is creating these obstacles and removing also. Right? So Prabhupada is saying, dangers can be created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and they can also be removed by Him. So actually, in the life of devotees, that's how it happens, you know. The various dangerous circumstances are created by the Lord and then removed by the Lord. बोले खाली बोली क्यों पहले क्रिएट पहले क्रिएट करना फिर बाद में रिमूव करना यू नो सो दैट्स हाउ द लॉर्ड एक्ट्स यू नो इन द लाइफ ऑफ डिवोटीज एंड द डिवोटीज दे इट गिव्स अपॉर्चुनिटी फॉर द डिवोटीज टू एक्चुअली इंक्रीज देयर सरेंडर राइट टू एक्सप्रेस देयर ग्रेटिट्यूड टू प्रे टू द लॉर्ड टू ग्लोरीफाई हिम राइट सो लाइक दैट So if you see from the broad perspective, you know, Hiranyakashipu Hiranyaksh came to this material world. The danger to the whole world was created by the Lord only, the whole universe, right? He wanted to fight and He made them descend. The Lord Himself admits, you know, it's my plan. So He created such a big danger. And then He appeared in so many, you know, avatars to actually protect his devotees. Right? So therefore dangers can be created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and they can also be removed by Him. Right? So basically these are the pastimes of the Lord. Right? But they are supremely beneficial. Right? We get so many opportunities to glorify the Lord. This is known to the devotees, but demons cannot understand it. Important point. Text 9. Tamuttitam vikshya kulachalam puna samudyata nirmathitum surasura nadar prishtena salakshayojana प्रस्तारिणा द्वीप इवा परो महान
When the demigods and demons saw that Mandar mountain had been lifted, they were enlivened and encouraged to begin churning again. The mountain rested on the back of the great tortoise, which extended for 800,000 miles like a large island.
So the Lord back, right? Prishthen, the Dara Prishthen, Lord's back as a Kachap, as a Kurma was Lakshya Yojana, the third line of the verse, right? Which is 8 lakh miles. 1 lakh Yojana was the span of the Lord's back. Text 10. Sura Surendrair Bhujavirya Vepitam Pari Brahmantam Girimanga Prishta Anga Prishtata Bibratadavartanamadi Kachapo Mene Anga Kanduyanam Aprameya
O King, when the demigods and demons, by the strength of their arms, rotated Mandar mountain on the back of the extraordinary tortoise, the tortoise accepted the rolling of the mountain as a means of scratching his body, and thus he felt a pleasing sensation.
Right? So it was a huge mountain, but the Lord, you know, he arranged the thing in such a way that it became the very pleasing scratching for him. Right? Nice massage. Sometimes the devotees come out of local train and they say, ah, free massage. You know, positive thinking. So lesson of positive thinking. So Lord turned the whole situation into positive experience. Right? The power of positive thinking can be learned from Adi Kachap, not tortoise. Text 11. Tatha surana vishada surena rupena tesham balavirmirayan uddipayan devaganamsha vishnur devena nagendram bodharupa.
Thereafter, Lord Vishnu entered the demons as the quality of the person, and the demigods as the quality of goodness, and Vasuki as the quality of the ignorance, to encourage them and increase their various type of the strength and energy.
Okay, so now it was not an easy task, you know, they became very fatigued. You know, and the Lord understood that they won't be able to continue. And Vasuki was about to leave his breath, you know, he was being, you know, the crushed, you know, he was being pulled from both sides. And he was, Prabhupada writes, Vasuki was so tired that he was going to die, Lord understood. And the demons and demigods were also, you know, Haisha and, you know, whatever, you know, they were going to collapse also. Last, you know, they are also on the verge of collapsing. So therefore, the Lord entered into them, right? So let's just recount how the Lord is helping from the beginning till now. Let's just recount quickly. So the very first time, anything before that? He gave the idea and the whole plan, first of all. You know, execution, who gave the idea and the execution plan? The Lord only gave. You know, what should be the churning rod? What should be the churning rope? You know, first, the whole plan, layout plan, was given by Lord. First, help. Then, second is carrying the mountain. Second, help. Anything before that? They were all crushed. Their limbs were all broken. Before the Lord carried the mountain, he rejuvenated all the limbs. There was a second help the Lord offered. Rejuvenated all their broken limbs and broken minds also. Because they had lost the enthusiasm also, right? The Lord rejuvenated them. Bhagna Manasa, remember we studied yesterday. Their enthusiasm was also broken. Second help the Lord offered. Third, yes, he brought the mountain to the ocean of the milk. Right? Fourth help the Lord offered. Kurma. Fourth help, the Lord, he brought the mountain and he supported the mountain from the bottom. Right? Then, fifth help, he is studying now in the text 11. Right? So the Lord, the fifth help the Lord is offering, right, is he is energizing them as per their modes. He is energizing them. You know, different people are energized in different way. Right? Different people are energized in different way. Some will, you know, yeah, because once I was traveling with one driver, he said, I need the Amrit ka Pyala. I can't drive any longer. I said, Amrit ka Pyala? You know, I said, where will you get that? Chai ka shop, you know. He said, chai ka dukaan mein. So he considered that Amrit, you know, what the devotee is energized. So by different, you know, so different people energize differently in this way, you know. So there's some people who can't proceed ahead, you know, after some time they need some chai because that increases some ignorance, whatever, you know. So like that. So even Sarvam Prabhu was once saying, he said, Sarvam Prabhu, he said, if you have to get a work done from a Brahmana, you have to first feed him nicely. Then he will do everything for you. First feed him, he will do everything. And if you get work done from a Shudra, you don't give him anything in the beginning. Bolo, sab kaam hone ke baad, khana bana, bolo, khana khake so jayega wo. You know, or you know, he will not work, you know, if you give him the money also or something before, he will not work. You have to give him the end. He said, for Brahmana, you feed him nicely, he will do everything. Beginning. You know, so there is a different way of energizing different people, right? Who are in different modes. So the Lord, according to their modes, he energizes the demigods with the mode of goodness, right? It's not mentioned exactly, but whatever, like different kind of foods also energize different people. Different kind of time energizes, right? Devotees are very active in the morning, and when other people are sleeping, and other people wake up at, you know, at 10 o'clock, and they're most feeling maximum energy at night or whatever, you know, different times energize different people. So this is the Lord in a suitable way, he energized the demons with the mode of passion, the demigods with the mode of goodness, and Vasuki with the mode of ignorance, right? So he gave them energy as per their modes. There's the fifth assistance, or Lord promised, I will help. Right? That's the fifth help the Lord offered. Text 12. Uparyagindram giriradivanya akrammehastena sahasrabahu tasto divi brahma bhavendra mukhya abhishtuvadbhi sumano bivrishta.
Manifesting himself with thousands of hands, the Lord then appeared on the summit of Mandar mountain like another great mountain, and held Mandar mountain with one hand in the upper planetary system. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, along with Indra, king of heaven, and other demigods, offered prayer to the Lord and showered flowers upon him.
Okay, so the Lord appeared with thousand hands now. This is the sixth assistance, right? The sixth help the Lord offered. Now what was happening was, they were churning so vigorously that it was shaking from the top and mountain was rising up, Vishnu Thakur says. The Lord had to now, he had to first support from the bottom, it should not sink, and then vigorous churning, it was rising up. The Lord had to hold it as a pivot and also keep it, you know, at its place. So therefore the Lord appeared in this way. And it is mentioned that Lord Brahma, Shiva, Indra, all the demigods, they showered flower on the Lord. Right? From the top. Say, but they all were churning. You know? No, it's that their expansions did that service, you know. Shower flowers when the Lord appeared in thousands armed form. So that's the sixth help from the Lord. 13. Uparyadhaschatmani gotra netrayo parenate pravishata samedhita mamanturabdhim darasamadutkata mahadrinashobita nakra chakram.
The demigods and demons worked almost madly for the nectar, encouraged by the Lord, who is above and below the mountain, and who had entered the demigods, the demons, Vasuki, and the mountain itself. Because of the strength of the demigods and demons, the ocean of milk was so powerfully agitated that all that alligators in the water were very much perturbed. Nonetheless, the churning of the ocean continued in this way.
Okay, so he is just summarizing. Shukadeva Goswami, Uparre Athas Chatmani. So the Lord is on the top, Lord is on the bottom, Lord is within also. Right? He has entered within to energize them. So Upar, Niche, Unke Bhitar, Sab Jaga Bhagwan hi. You know, all pervading. So in this churning of the ocean, the Lord is all pervading. Right? He only doing everything in one sense. Like that. So the all-round, you know, all-round help of the Lord, or the Lord is helping, or they are helping the Lord, you know, whatever, the Lord is doing them. So it can be. Text 14. Ahindra sahasra kathora dhinmukha. Shvashagni dhumahat varchasho sura Pulom kaleya balivaladayo Eya balilvaladayo Davagni dagda sarala iva bhavan.
Vasuki had thousand of eyes and mouth. From his mouth he breathed smoke and blazing fire, which affected the demons, headed by the Pulom, Kaleya, Bali, and Ivala, Lalaval. Thus the demons, who appear like sarala trees burned by the forest fire, gradually become powerless.
Okay, so now another obstacle, right? Now Vasuki started vomiting poisonous fumes out of his mouth, right? And the demons were, you know, being burned. So this example is given, there is like sarala trees burned by forest fire, right? They became powerless. And even the demigods were affected. You know, demigods on the other side, they were less affected, but they were also affected because of the fumes they spread around. Right? So the demigods were also affected, is mentioned in the next verse. Devam shatashwa sashikahata prabhan dhumam varasagvara kanchukananan samabhyavarshan bhagavadvashaghana vavush sumurdram me upagudha vavush samudur me upagudha vayava.
Because the demigods were also affected by the blazing breath of the Vasuki, their bodily lusters diminished, and their garments, garland, weapon, and faces were blackened by smoke. However, by the grace of the Supreme Person of Godhead, clouds appear on the sea, pouring torrents of rain, and breezes below, carrying particles of water from the sea waves to give the demigods relief.
Okay, so now this is the seventh help of the Lord. What is that? Refreshing shower. Right? The Lord, there was a refreshing shower and breeze, both. Right? So that reduced the effect of the smoke, you know, the smoky fumes. The breeze blew away and there was a fresh breeze and the refreshing, you know, they were sweating also, and, you know, so therefore both shower and breeze, they refreshed them. Text 16. Mathyamana tatha sindur devasura varuthape
यदा सुधा न जायेत निर्ममंथा जिता स्वयं.
When nectar did not come from the ocean of milk, despite so much endeavor by the best of the demigods and demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ajita, personally began to churn the ocean.
Okay, so the Lord was anyway offering all-round help, you know, giving all facilities for them to churn the ocean. But still nectar was not coming out. So, chalo, abhi churning hi mai karta. Right? So Lord took the churning also, the eighth help the Lord offered. Right? So, yes. He just took the, you know, the front portion and demigod just followed. It's not mentioned he started churning. You know, just to, that was just the Lord act that the demigod followed him. You know, that was which side we will take, you know. And it was like a toss, you know. Beginning in the Lord. Lord chose this side, but the demon the post. So then they exchanged the side. So just he took it. You know, he just showed them which side to take. That this. But now it's mentioned, now he started churning himself. Right? So, therefore, this completes the description of the process of the manthan. Now things will coming out. Right? So text up to 17 we'll discuss is just the beauty of the Lord who is churning the ocean. Right? So in this way, if you see, there are eight ways the Lord helped, right? Samudra Manthan Ashtakam. Lord can be glorified, you know, in these eight ways the Lord helped. Right? Just to recount again, one by one. From here we'll start. What is the first help the Lord offered? Strategic planning. Okay. Sorry? Yes? Yeah, so the first strategic planning, then the Lord, you know, gave them whatever, OPD care. They all limbed and broken, whatever, you know. So medical care. Second. Third? Yeah, he brought the mountain, churning rod arranged by the Lord. Then, Lord gave the foundation for the mountain. Fourth, Kurmadev appeared. Adi Kachap. Then fifth. No. Not the head of Vasuki. That is not the assistant. That was just another. They were not in trouble like at that time. There was just a decision who will take what. That was not a like. So there are eight obstacles arose in broadly. They didn't know what to do. So Lord gave the plan. Okay, we are looking that these eight helps are offered to both demons and demigods. That is like only to demigods the Lord, you know, arranged that, you know, they don't suffer that much. You know, so they are going to oppose who the Lord did that. It can also be taken, but we are taking a broad picture. Eight obstacles arose, you know, that they would not be able to continue without these helps. That was just, you know, another favor given. But if you see, there are eight major obstacles which actually, those obstacles could not be removed by either demons or demigods, right? They would not be able to continue if the Lord would not help. So therefore, these eight major categories we are discussing. Fourth was the Lord became a foundation. Fifth was, yes, the fifth was, sorry, who is saying going to say fifth? Yes. Sorry? 1,000 hands from the top. That was the fifth or sixth. That was the sixth. That was sixth. Okay. The crumb is, that was sixth. So the fifth, Simhachalam Prabhu? Yes. So he energized them. You know, energy drink, whatever. The official energy drink of the tournament. So he served them some energy drink in between, according to their modes, right? And then that was the fifth, and the sixth was Lord supported from the top with 1,000 hand. He appeared. Then seventh, Lord, yeah, refreshing shower, you know, the breeze, the rains. And then the eighth, the Lord himself started churning. Right? So they were unable to produce nectar, you know, with all their strength. The Lord had to join in the churning also. So in this way, the Lord helped that, you know, from the big, from the bottom, from the top, from within them, you know, from all around. Okay, text 17, we will recite together in the meter of Mukundamala Stotram. Megha Shyama Kanaka Paridhi Kanna Vidyota Vidyun Murdni Bhrajad Vilutilkacha Sragdharo Rakta Netra Jatrair Dorbhir Jagat Abhayadair Tanda Shukam Grihitava Matnan Matna Prati Girir Ivashav Bhattatho Dhritadari.
The Lord appeared like a blackish cloud. He was dressed with yellow garments. His airing shone in on his hair like a lighting, and his hair spread over his shoulder. He wore a garland of flowers, and his eyes were pinkish. With his strong, glorious arms, which ever fearlessness throughout the universe, he took hold of Vasuki and began churning the ocean, using Mandar Mountain as a churning rod. When engaged in this way, the Lord appeared like a beautiful situated mountain named Indra Nila.
Okay, so it's a description of the Lord's beauty. So important word is the fourth line, if you see, Matnan Matna Prati Girir. So there is a one girir, one mountain, very beautiful golden mountain. Opposite there is no another mountain, a beautiful mountain, Prati Giri. That is the golden mountain, this is the blue sapphire mountain. You know, the Lord is black, his complexion. Right? So in this way, the Lord, rivaled the beauty. Right? So this is a competitive mountain. You know, Mandari is very beautiful. But the Lord's is another Pratigiri, you know, competitive mountain. And he actually looked more beautiful than this Mandar mountain. So that's a description. Text. Okay, so this completes one section. The first section, which is the Lord's assistance in the churning of the ocean. Right? Okay, so now text 18. The first product of the churning. Right?
Nirmathyamana udadhera bhudvisham Mahul banam hal halavaham grata Sambrantaminon makarahi kachapat Timi dupagrahat mingilakulat. The fish, sharks, tortoise, and snakes were most agitated and perturbed. The entire ocean became turbulent, and even the large aquatic animals like whales, water elephants, crocodiles, and timingles, fish, large whales that can swallow small whales, came to the surface. While the ocean was being churned in this bay, it first produced a fiercely dangerous poison called hala hala.
Okay, so all the sea animals were agitated. They were coming to the surface. And the first product that came out was Maha Ulbanam Hal Halavam Agrata. Agrata. First thing that came out is very, very fierce poison. Right? So that is one thing is that actually the herbs and vegetables and the shrubs were put, they contained both nectar and poison. So, nectar will appear only after all the poison is gone. Right? Poison will only act as a poison is gone. So, therefore, similarly, like we also have both divine and demonic nature, as we know, you know, are mixed, right? So, first all the anarthas, you know, which represent the demonic nature, they have to go out. Right? Then only when the divine nature remains, then the nectar, which is the love for Krishna, right, that will appear. Right? So that is one lesson from here. And usually, as we shall see, when the poison appears, it is a very fearsome situation, right? And it created a very fearful and painful situation, the appearance of poison. Right? So therefore, anartha nivritti stage is also sometimes very fearful and painful procedure. Right? But as we become free from anartha nivritti, we will see that the natural joy of Krishna consciousness, that become manifest. Right? So everyone has to go through that phase. Right? It's actually, so therefore many times people are bewildered, you know, I was better situated before, you know. And a new person can start, you know, seriously taking to Krishna consciousness. Usko aate malaria, dengue, you know, saal mein teen baar hospital mein admit. So many, you know, one problem, another problem, you know, the line after line, you know. Anartha nivritti is a very painful and fearful phase, right? But one should know that the removal of the poison will, you know, one has to go tolerate that phase. One has to tolerate that phase. So if one tolerates with patiently, right? The Lord advised them, you know, you have to be patient, right? So therefore, this patience is required to go through this, you know. Like it's a poisonous phase in one sense. You know, the poison is being removed from the heart. So therefore, it's a painful and fearful phase of one's development of or one's churning out of the nectar. Go to text 19. Tadugravegam dishidishuparyado visarpadutsarpadasayam aprati Vita prajadu druvuranga seshvara arakshemana sharanam sadashivam.
O king, when that uncontrollable poison was forcefully spreading up and down in all directions, all the demigods along with the Lord himself approached Lord Shiva. Say Sadashiv, feeling unsettled and very much afraid, they sought shelter of him.
Okay, so this poison started spreading, and it's mentioned tad ugra vega. Vishnu Thakur says this poison, he translates ugra vega as even Prabhupada says, very fierce and potent. He says that this poison didn't spread immediately because everyone would have been then destroyed. The poison was very ugraveg. Ugraveg means very strong poison, but it spread slowly. Therefore, you know, they could approach Lord Shiva and there was a time for the Lord Shiva to act. It didn't spread very fast. Also, it's mentioned that Lord Vishnu who transported both the demons and the demigods to Lord Shiva very fast. They could not have gone so easily from ocean of milk to Kailash. You know, not immediately they could go. But Lord Vishnu went along with them and he helped them to reach fast. Right? It is also described over here. Okay, so then Madhvacharya says that even Lord Shiva, even Lord Vishnu went to Lord Shiva along with all of them. So Madhvacharya is given this word, Rudrasya Yashaso Arthaya Swayam Vishnur Visham Vibhu Na Sanjare Samarthopi Vayum Choche Prashantaye Na Sanjare Samarthopi. He could have neutralized the poison himself, but Rudrasya Yashaso Arthaya. The Lord wanted to glorify Lord Shiva. That is his nature. That is his nature. He wants to glorify his devotees. Right? So many pastimes. I mean, all in detailed discussion. He made Bhishma Deva speak dharma in front of all compilers of dharma. Right? All the sages who have compiled dharma and everything, Bhishmadeva, Kshatriya warrior is speaking dharma in front of all the compilers of dharma, in front of the Lord himself, personification of dharma. Right? Bhishmadeva is speaking. So in this way, one example, Lord glorified Ramananda Rai and so many examples. The Lord likes to glorify his devotees. Right? That is one of his beautiful nature. So herein also the Lord wants to glorify Lord Shiva. Text 20. Vilokyatam devavratam trilokya bhavaya devyabhimatam muninam asina madrav apavarga hetos tapo jushanam stuti bipanemu.
The demigods observed Lord Shiva sitting on the summit of Kailas hill with his wife, Bhavani, for the auspicious development of the three worlds. He was being worshipped by great saintly persons desiring liberation. The demigods offered him their obeisance and prayer with great respect.
Okay, so now the demigods, they started praying to the Lord. It's mentioned that the Prajapatis, they offered these prayers on behalf of the demigods. So the demons and demigods are churning, but there are many sages, Prajapatis, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, everyone is there actually. You know, in this, Lord Shiva they are approaching, but even it mentioned Lord Brahma and Prajapatis, many great sages were also around. Right? Demigods and demons were, while they were churning. Okay, so now 21 to 35, 15 verses, the Prajapatis, they pray to Lord Shiva on behalf of the demigods. Deva Deva Mahadeva Bhutatman Bhutabhavana Trahina Sharanapannams Trailokya Dahanad Vishat.
The Prajapati said, O greatest of all demigods, Mahadeva, supersoul of all living entities, and because of their happinesses and prosperity, we have come to the shelter of your lotus feet. Now please save us from this fiery poison which is spreading all over the three worlds.
Okay, so there are few important considerations. You will see that Lord Shiva is glorified as if he is the supreme. He is a supreme Lord in this material universe. Right? So therefore, how do you understand, you know, you may find the similar glorification for Lord Vishnu offered previously and now for Lord Shiva offered. So therefore, how should you understand these prayers, next 15 prayers? Three important points you should note, which are pointed by Prabhupada. Right? So first Prabhupada says, understand that Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they are Shaktyavesh incarnations. They are endowed with special power like Lord Vishnu. Therefore, because they are Shaktyavesh avatar and they have special power endowed by Lord Vishnu, therefore they can be addressed as having same qualities as Lord Vishnu. Therefore they can be addressed. That's the first point, important point. Secondly, Prabhupada says, whenever prayers for protection are offered to Lord Shiva, actually Vishnu is indicated. So Vishnu is being indicated in the prayers. Not because he is the Shaktyavesh avatar, by through him the Vishnu is being indicated. Because we know how, you know, even when the part and parcel are sometimes glorified, the glory goes to the master also. Right? Goes to the master also. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed the son of the king. He embraced him. Said the king received the embrace, you know. Through him, the king received that. He is the father. Right? So therefore, through Lord Shiva, Vishnu is being glorified in these prayers. That also should be understood. Second important point. Right? Third important point in this prayer is, said Prabhupada says, Lord Vishnu acts through Lord Shiva in the creation of the material world. So Lord Vishnu is the supreme, but Lord Vishnu is supreme, he acts through Lord Shiva. So therefore Lord, his manifestation, Lord Shiva is the supreme in this material world. But it doesn't define that Lord Vishnu is supreme. Lord Vishnu as Lord Shiva, as his manifestation as Lord Shiva, exhibits his supremacy in this material world. There, Prabhupada gives the example. Prabhupada says, when Krishna says, Aham Bij Pradapita, actually that Bij is given by Lord Shiva. Krishna says, Aham Bij Pradapita. You know? So therefore, Aham Krishna says, I. So I am supreme, father of all living entities, as Lord Shiva. Aham Bij Pradapita. So Lord says, I am the father. He is referring Aham as himself as Lord Shiva. Therefore, another place Prabhupada says, Lord Shiva is as good as Lord Vishnu. He's not exactly the same. Right? But he's as good as. So therefore, that's how we understand. Because Lord Krishna says, I am the seed giving father. He's referring to his expansion of Lord Shiva. Prabhupada points that out, right? So therefore, in this material world, Lord Vishnu is exhibiting his supreme potency by manifesting himself as Lord Shiva. That's the third point. So, in this way, you should understand these prayers, right? Which are very close to many other prayers, you know, which are attributed to Vishnu. So, with these three points, you should be able to reconcile, right? And not be confused in any way. So, we will go through these prayers a little fast. Okay? So, read the translations of these prayers from 22 to 35. One by one, if I have to say something, I'll say in between.
O Lord, you are the cause of bondage and liberation of the entire universe because you are its ruler. Those who are advanced in spiritual consciousness surrender unto you, and therefore you are the cause of mitigating their distresses. And you are also the cause of their liberation. We therefore worship your Lordship.
Okay, so if you see, the prayers will have a common thread, which is, please protect us. You mitigate the distress. Please mitigate our distress. You give liberation. Please liberate us from this problem. So you should be also able to see that, you know, in the prayers. Okay, so Prabhupada, in the purport, the last three lines are important. Prabhupada says, when Lord Vishnu is untouched by external energy, he is Lord Vishnu. But when he is in touch with external energy, he appears in his feature as Lord Shiva. Like that. 23, read.
O Lord, you are the self-effulgent and supreme. You create this material world by your personal energy. And you assume the names Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwar. When you act in creation, maintenance and inhalation.
Okay, so they are saying you assume the names Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. Again, Prabhupada says this prayer is actually offered to Lord Vishnu, the Purusha, who in his incarnation as a Guna Avatara assumed the names Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. Right? So, I already told three points you should be able to reconcile. Right? So, therefore, Prabhupada says these prayers are directed toward Lord Vishnu through Lord Shiva. Like that. 24.
You are the cause of all causes, the self-effulgent, inconceivable, impersonal Brahman, which is the original Param Brahman. You manifest various potency in this cosmic manifestation.
Okay, again, Vishnu Thakur says, you, now, the Brahman effulgence and all that we know is Krishna's bodily effulgence, right? So therefore, again, here is being equated with Lord Vishnu. So Vishnu Thakur says, you are Vishnu, the Lord of the universe, appearing with various energies. Then we are saying, you are actually Vishnu. Read next.
Lord, you are the original source of Vedic literature. You are the original cause of material creation, the life force, the senses, the five elements, the three modes and the Mahatattva, your eternal time, determines and the two religious system called truth, satya and truthfulness. You are the shelter of the syllable of Om, which is constituted of the three letters A, U, Om.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. 26.
O Father, of all planets, learned scholars, known that fire is your mouth, the surface of the globe is your lotus feet, eternal time is your movement, all the directions are your ears, and Varuna, master of the water, is your tongue.
Okay, so so basically, if you see, they are in text 25, they are saying that you are the ultimate expression of all words. And text 26 to 30, the demigods are praising Lord Shiva as sum total of everything within the universe. 26 to 30, that you are the sum total of everything within the universe. Right? And especially, it's mentioned about Agni, right? Agnir Mukham is mentioned, that you are the fire, that fire is your mouth. And Prabhupada says, actually this Agni is a very special devata. This Agni Dev is present in all other devatas. Right? As fire, he is present in all the devatas. Therefore, Agni is sometimes known as the soul of all devatas. Yes, 27.
O Lord, the sky is your navel, the air is your breathing, the sun is your eyes, and the water is your semen. You are the shelter of all kinds of living entities, high and low. The good of the moon, the god of the moon is your mind, and the upper planetary system is your head.
Yes, read.
O Lord, you are the three Vedas personified. The seven seas are the your abdomen, and the mountain are your bones. All drugs, creepers and vegetables are the hairs on your body. The Vedic mantras like Gayatri are the seven layers of your body. And the Vedic religious system is the core of your heart.
Okay, go ahead.
O Lord, the five important Vedic mantras are represented by your five faces, from which the 38 most celebrated Vedic mantras have been generated. Your lordship, being celebrated as Lord Shiva, is self-enumulated. You are directly situated as the Supreme Truth, known as Paramatma.
Read.
O Lord.
Okay, just want to little bit discuss here. So, Prabhupada core, there are some five Vedic mantras. These five Vedic mantras, Prabhupada says, are within the category of 38 special Vedic mantras chanted by Lord Shiva, who is therefore celebrated as Shiva or Mahadev. So these 38 mantras are used for glorifying Lord Shiva, right? And these 38 mantras, Prabhupada gives all 38 mantras in purport of text 31. You see, all 38 are included, you know, the actual mantras. So the name of these five are given over here in the purport also. And Lord Shiva is being glorified as Yat Tach Shivakhyam Paramatma Tattvam. Right? He is being glorified as Paramatma. Right? So, this is because Lord Shiva, just like so many, Lord Shiva has the quality of omniscience. He is also Trikalagya. Therefore, he is glorified as Paramatma. Just like even the great, powerful, sometimes sages, you know, are called Bhagwan, right? Because they have some particular opulence, you know, in partially they manifest particular opulence of the six opulences, they are called Bhagwan. So similarly, one of the features of Paramatma, which is omniscient, is manifested by Lord Shiva. So therefore, he is also known as Paramatma, right? Another understanding is given, one of the names of Paramatma is also Shiva. There are three names Prabhupada gives in the Purport, Maheshwar, Shiva and Achyuta. These are the names of the super soul. You know, so sometimes, therefore, Paramatma is also referred to as Shiva, means all auspicious. Like that. But actually we know that how Shirodakshai Vishnu expands himself as Paramatma. It's not technically Lord Shiva is expanding as Paramatma, but one attribute of Paramatma is ascribed to Lord Shiva. Therefore he is also known as Paramatma. Got the point? Sorry. The last line of the purport 29. The super soul is called by many names, of which Maheshwar, Shiva and Achyuta are specially mentioned. Okay. Yeah, read. Someone else can also read. Take turns to read.
O Lord, your shadow is seen in irreligion, which brings about varieties of irreligious creations. The three modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, are your three eyes. All the Vedic literatures, which are full of verses, are emanations from you, because their compilers wrote the various scriptures after receiving your glance. O Lord Girisha, since the impersonal Brahman effulgence is transcendental to the material modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, the various directors of this material world certainly cannot appreciate it or even know where it is. It is not understandable even to Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu or the King of Heaven, Mahendra.
This is something that needs discussion. So they are saying the impersonal Brahman effulgence is transcendental to the material modes of nature. The various directors of the material world certainly cannot appreciate it or even know it. Right? So they are first of all attributing this Brahman effulgence to Lord Shiva, and they are saying that Lord Brahma, Vishnu or Indra cannot understand this impersonal effulgence. It's transcendental. How the Vishnu cannot understand, first of all, it's Vishnu's effulgence. Right? So we can understand that Brahma and Indra may not understand because they are within this material universe and Brahman effulgence is transcendental. How Vishnu cannot understand? So Prabhupada explains, although the impersonal feature, this is sixth line of the purport, although the impersonal feature of the Absolute is an expansion of the rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not need to take care of the impersonalist to enter the Brahma Jyoti. So he said the Lord, he also doesn't understand. So the Lord doesn't care for who all are in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Right? He tries to take care of his devotees actually. In the board. You got the point? Right? So Vishnu Thakur also writes similarly that he writes a similar point. He gives another understanding of this verse, a technical thing. He says, Na te giri tra akhil lokapala vrinch vaikunt surendra gamyam. He says, all the verse can be read, O Shiva, Brahma, Vishnu, Indra, and O, addressed to all of them, your Brahman effulgence is not known to others. Right? So in that case, all these addresses will be to actually Lord Vishnu. Right? He is the ultimate king, Mahendra. Right? The Lord is the Indra as was established. Lord Govind was established as the Indra. So he is the Brahma, he is Vishnu, he is Shiva. Right? So therefore, he is saying that one can see the first two lines of the verse are referred to all of them. And then say your Brahma reference is not understood. So in two ways explained. Again, Prabhupada says in the last paragraph, the third line, or I'll just read the last paragraph itself. The impersonal Brahman is unknown even to the other directors of the material creation, including Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, even Lord Vishnu. This does not mean, however, that Lord Vishnu is not omniscient. Lord Vishnu is omniscient, but he does not need to understand what is going on in his all-pervading expansion. He does not need to understand. Again, Prabhupada says, last three lines, he does not need to take care of everything since there are various directors like Lord Brahma, Shiva and Indra. Right? Text 32, read the translation.
When annihilation is performed by the flames and sparks emanating from your eyes, the entire creation is burned to ashes. Nonetheless, you do not know how this happens. What then is to be said of your destroying the Dakshayajna, Triprasura and the Kalakut poison? Such activities cannot be subject matters for prayers offered to you.
Right. So they are saying, you destroy the entire creation and doesn't even know, you know, the details of it. You destroy it. You destroyed Dakshayajna, Triprasura, right? And they include the Kalakut poison also here, that you will surely destroy this also. So they are saying such activities cannot be subject matter for prayers offered to you. Actually, this itself is a glorification. They are saying, you know, such activities cannot be subject matter of prayer. Such activities are very insignificant for you to perform. And means you are so great. So this line itself is glorifying Lord Shiva. Right? So indirectly they are also telling, please remove this poison, you know. So they include the word Kalakut poison over herein. Need 33.
Exalted self-satisfied persons who preach to the entire world think of your lotus feet constantly within their hearts. However, when persons who do not know your austerity see you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty. Or when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities.
Okay, so actually Vishnu Thakur and Prabhupada also say those who criticize Lord Shiva for being lusty, actually they become or angry, you know. They become actually part of the lust and anger. That quality develops in them and not in Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is always in a transcendental position. Right? So by external one should not judge Lord Shiva. That is being mentioned. Read.
Even personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods cannot understand your position. For you are beyond the moving and non-moving creation. Since no one can understand you in truth, how can one offer you prayers? It is impossible. As far as we are concerned, we are creatures of Lord Brahma's creation. Under the circumstances, therefore, we cannot offer you adequate prayers. But as far as our ability allows, we have expressed our feelings.
Okay, so this way they are glorifying Lord Shiva. We cannot sufficiently glorify you. Tat sarg sarg vishaya. So they are saying, this Prajapati, that we have been created by Marichi and others who have been created by Brahma. Tat sarg sarg. So how do we actually can praise you? Go ahead.
O greatest of all rulers, your actual identity is impossible for us to understand. As far as we can see, your presence brings flourishing happiness to everyone. Beyond this, no one can appreciate your activities. We can see this much and nothing more.
Okay, so they are saying that we cannot understand your superior form, but we know for sure your activities brings happiness to all. So please make us happy and by removing this poison. So here ends Lord Shiva, prayers to Lord Shiva, the 15 verses. Read ahead.
Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Shiva is always benevolent toward all living entities. When he saw that the living entities were very much disturbed by the poison, which was spreading everywhere, he was very compassionate. Thus, he spoke to his eternal consort Sati as follows.
Let us cite the verse 36 also. Tad vikshyavasanam dasam kripaya vrishapidita sarvabhuta suhriddeva idam mahasatim priyam. Okay, so Lord is his guide. Kripaya vrishapidita, a beautiful quality the Lord Shiva are being described. And sarvabhuta suhriddeva. Okay, so these two wonderful qualities of Lord Shiva are there. He is very merciful. He is pained to see the other's pain. Right? And he spoke to Mother Parvati. Shri Shiva uvacha. Oho bat bhavan netat. Prajanam pasya vaishasam. Shiroda matanod bhutat. Kalakutadupasthitam. Asamprana paripsunam videyam abhayam hime etavan hi prabhurartho yaddina paripalanam.
I said, my dear Bhavani, just see how all these living entities have been placed in danger because of the poison produced from the churning of the ocean of milk. It is my duty to give protection and safety to all living entities struggling for existence. Certainly it is the duty of the master to protect his suffering dependents.
Okay, so Lord Shiva is speaking to Mother Parvati. He actually is seeking Mother Parvati's permission to drink poison. Actually, you know, he's acting as a dutiful husband. You know, you have to notice, you know, a dutiful husband will always consult his good wife before taking any major decision. Right? So, also Lord Shiva, you know, he wants to give protection to all, but he also is supposed to give protection to his good wife. Right? So, consulting his wife in this major act is going to perform is also synonymous with giving emotional protection actually to Mother Parvati. Right? So therefore, Lord Shiva acts as a dutiful husband in seeking permission of Mother Parvati, right, in taking this major act. Right? Just Radhikal Prabhu was on sharing, he was saying that when, you know, Gopinath Prabhu, you know, who donated liver for Shyam Sundar Prabhu. You know, all of you know him. One devotee, Gopinath Prabhu, in our congregation. So he proposed that he wants to donate his liver. And his only Radhana Swami Maharaj first told him, go and take permission from a wife first. You know, it's an important factor, you know. So Lord Shiva also, you know, teaches us this point. So another way to look at it is Lord Shiva is telling that look, it's my duty to give you protection, right, as a husband, but also it's my duty to give protection to all living entities. They're all my praja, right? They're all my praja. Aham bij prada pita, right? Is the prita. So therefore, Lord Shiva is saying that my duty to give protection to all. That way, also this verse can be studied. Okay, 39. Prane swaya prani napanti sadvashan bhangure padvaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshvatma mayaya.
People in general, being bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are always engaged in animosity toward one another. But devotees, even at the risk of their own temporary lives, try to save them.
So Lord Shiva, beautiful, you know, reciting beautiful Siddhant. He says, prane swaya prani na panti. So the sadhavas, they give up their own lives, prane swaya. prani na panti, in order to protect other living entities. While ordinary condition souls, they don't mind killing so many other people in order to protect their own temporary body. Right? So Lord Shiva makes a contrast between the sadhavas, you know, and the baddha jivas. So Prabhupada says in the sixth line of the purport, Lord Shiva and his followers in the parampara system try to save people from this dangerous condition of materialistic life. Right? So this materialistic life is also like a poisonous condition, very dangerous condition. Just like Lord Shiva wants to save, all the Vaishnavas should follow in the footsteps of Lord Shiva, Prabhupada is saying. Text 40. Pumsa Agravayato Bhadre Sarvatma Priyate Harihi Prite Haro Bhagavati Priyeham Sacharachara Tasmadidam Garam Bhunje Prajanam Sasatirastume.
My dear gentle wife Bhavani, when one performs benevolent activities for others, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is very pleased. And when the Lord is pleased, I am also pleased, along with all other living creatures. Therefore, let me drink this poison, for all the living entities may thus become happy because of me.
So, very beautifully again, you know, this should actually be the motive also. He's saying, by this act, the Supreme Lord will be extremely pleased. Right? Sarvatma Priyate Hari. By showing mercy to other living entities, Supreme Lord is extremely pleased. And if the Lord is pleased, I will also be so much pleased. Lord Shiva is saying. That's a very beautiful verse actually. Pranina swaya, pranina panti, sadhavashan bhangura. And pumsa kripeyato bhadre, sarvatma priyate hari. Right? By showing mercy to the Lord, to the general living entities, Lord is very much pleased. Therefore, saying tasmad idam garam bhunje prajanam swasti rastume. Therefore, let me drink this poison, he is saying. Eva ma mantraya bhagavan bhavanim vishva bhavana tadvisham jagadumarebhe Prabhava Gyanva Modhata.
Shri Shukadev Goswami continued, after informing Bhavani in this way, Lord Shiva began to drink the poison. And Bhavani, who knew perfectly well the capabilities of Lord Shiva, gave him her permission to do so.
Okay, so Bhavani has been mentioned here as Vishva Bhavana. And Lord Shiva was glorified by Prajapati as Devadev Mahabaho Bhutatman Bhuta Bhavana. Bhuta Bhavana. That you are the well-wisher of all the living entities. And Bhavani has been mentioned, Mother Parvati as well-wisher of all the world. Vishva Bhavana. Same meaning. Right? So we see that Mother Parvati, she also has the same, she shares the same compassion. She shares the same compassion. And also another important point is, it's mentioned, Tad visham jagadum arebhe prabhav gyan anvamodata. She gave her permission, anvamodata. So by giving that permission, she is actually also, Lord Shiva is making a sacrifice of drinking poison. Mother Parvati is also making an equal sacrifice in giving permission. You know, she is the better half as we described. Right? She shares the same compassion. So she also gains half the credit for that. You know, by allowing her husband to drink poison. You know, she's not saying, you know, what will happen if you die or something, I'll be widow, this, that. You know, she doesn't raise any question. She also shares the same compassion. Therefore, she shares the same credit also. So therefore, even if a person supports a noble act in some way, as per one's capacity, that person shares, you know, the credits for performing a noble act also, especially the wife here mentioned. Okay, text 42. Tata karatali kritya vyapi halahalam visham abhakshyan mahadeva kripaya bhuta bhavana.
Thereafter, Lord Shiva, who is dedicated to auspicious, benevolent work for humanity, compassionately took the whole quantity of poison in his palm and drank it.
Again, Lord Shiva is called Bhuta Bhavana, if you see. Right? Demigod praised him like that. Mother Parvati is Vishva Bhavana. Tasya Bidarshayamasa So Viryam Jalakalmasha Yachakara Gale Neelam Tacha Sadur Vibhushanam.
As if in defamation, the poison born from the ocean of milk manifested its potency by marking Lord Shiva's neck with a bluish line. That line, however, is now accepted as an ornament of the Lord.
Right, so again, very beautifully important point here is, now the poison, you know, it's like the poison has been offended and it wanted to, you know, create some effect. So it made the Lord Shiva's neck blue, you know, it manifested his potency. But this blue line became ornament for Lord Shiva, right? So by drinking poison, Lord Shiva is adorned, he is glorified. And Rahu drank nectar, and Rahu is considered as a great inauspicious sign. So nectar became like a scar, right, for Rahu, and poison became an ornament for Lord Shiva, right? Right? Because one is done as per the instruction of the Lord to benefit the living entities, other is done against the will of the Lord, right? And therefore it's inauspicious, it is a scar actually, right? It's considered as an inauspicious sign. So that contrast between Lord Shiva and Rahu can be drawn from here. Text 44. Tapyante lokatapena sadhava prayasho jana paramaradhanam taddhi purushasya akhilatmana.
It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart.
Okay, so if you see in these verses, Shukdev Goswami is glorifying Lord Shiva. This is the last section, quality of compassion. Right? So therefore, this is especially very beautiful verse. Tapyante loka tapena sadhava prayasho jana. Sukhdev Goswami is saying, look, prayasho is the nature, almost all saintly persons, tapyante loka tapena. Seeing the people suffering, the saintly person also feel that tap, also feel that suffering. And they want to remove their suffering. Right? Tapyante loka tapena sadhava prayasho jana. Right? And this act, you know, to benefit the living entities, to relieve them from this tap, it is param aradhanam taddhi. It is the highest form of worship to the Lord. Purushasya akhilatmana, who is within the heart of every living entities. There is no superior worship of the Lord than trying to relieve the conditioned living entities of their tap, right? By giving them Krishna consciousness. Right? Very, very beautiful verse. Right? And Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita verses where Lord Krishna also says, right, Nacha tasman manushyesu kashin me priya krittama. And we know also how Prabhupada also, you know, the same mood, tapyanti loka tapena sadhavo prayasho jana. Right? There is a burning compassion in his heart to go and preach. Right? And otherwise, why would he leave Vrindavan and stay in Bauri? You know, you can contrast the two situations. Only because of tapyanti lokatapena prayasho sadhavo jana. Like that. Okay, the last two verses. Nishamya karma tashambur దేవదేవస్యమీడుషా ప్రజాదాక్షాయణీ బ్రహ్మ వైకుంఠశ్చాశశ్మిరే శశంశిరే ప్రక్షన్నం పివతాపానేర్ యత్కించిజ్జగ్రహూస్మతత్ వృశ్చికాహి విశోషద్యో దండశూకాశయే పరే.
On hearing of this act, everyone, including Bhavani, the daughter of Maharaj Daksha, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and the people in general, very highly prized this deed performed by Lord Shiva, who is worshipped by the demigods and who bestows benedictions upon the people. Scorpions, cobras, poisonous drugs, and other animals whose bites are poisonous took the opportunity to drink whatever little poison had fallen and scattered from Lord Shiva's hand while he was drinking.
Okay, so in this way, Lord Shiva was highly praised by everyone over there for this act of compassion. Even Lord Vaikunthascha Shashamshire, even Lord Vishnu praised Lord Shiva. Right? He wanted to glorify him and he praised him. Right? In this way, Lord Shiva is still now glorified, right, as Neelkanth. Okay, so take a break and we will continue with chapter 8. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so we are continuing with chapter 8, the churning of the milk ocean. Shri Shuka Uvacha Pite Gare Vrishankena ప్రీతస్థ అమరదానవామంతుస్తరసింధు హవిర్ధానీతోభవత్.
సుఖదేవ్ గోస్వామి కంటిన్యూడ్, అపాన్ లార్డ్ శివాస్ డ్రింకింగ్ ద పాయిజన్ బోత్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్ అండ్ ద డెమన్స్ బీయింగ్ వెరీ ప్లీజ్డ్ బిగాన్ టు చర్న్ ద ఓషన్ విత్ రిన్యూడ్ విగర్. యాజ్ ఎ రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ దేర్ అపియర్డ్ అ కౌ నోన్ యాజ్ సురభి.
Okay. So now they again resumed, and the second thing which came out from the churning is Surbhi, the cow Surbhi. And Surbhi is known as Havir Dhani, who gives butter. Havir is butter, one who provides butter. Right? And Prabhupada says, butter when melted, right, heated, it becomes a ghee, which is inevitably necessary for performance of great sacrifices. And Prabhupada talks about the importance of cow protection in the purport. Tamagni hotrim rishayo yagruhur brahmavadina yagasya deva yanasya మేధాయా హవిషే నృప.
O King Parikshit, great sages who were completely aware of the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies took charge of that Surabhi cow, which produced all the yogurt, milk and ghee absolutely necessary for offering oblations into the fire. They did this just for the sake of pure ghee, which they wanted for the performance of sacrifices to elevate themselves to the higher planetary systems up to Brahmaloka.
Okay, so the sages took charge of, there were sages around as they discuss, right? Prajapatis were there, sages were there, Lord Brahma is there. So the sages, they wanted this cow so that they can perform sacrifices. Right? So and they, devata, the demigods, you know, they both agreed, chalo, theek hai. Pehle inko khush kar dete hain, you know. Ek gaay ko inko leke jaane do. Right? Vaise demons, they don't like milk at all anyway. Right? But anyway, discuss. Right? So therefore, and the demigods also shared the oblations. So they were also, so they all parties agreed. Fine, fine, fine. Theek hai, gaay inko de do. And Prabhupada again glorified cows by saying that, fourth line of the purport, these cows are the Lord's pet animals. You know, they're very dear to Lord. Known as Surabhi Rabipala, and known as Gopal. His place is known as Gokul. So in this way, Prabhupada glorifies the cows. Text 3. Tathai Uchha Shrava Nama Hayo Abhushandra Pandura Tasmin Balihi Sriham Chakre Indraishwara Shikshaya.
Thereafter, a horse named Uchheshrava, which was as white as the moon, was generated. Bali Maharaj desired to possess this horse, and Indra, the king of heaven, did not protest, for he had previously been so advised by the Supreme Personality
of God. Okay, so this was a very beautiful, powerful horse, you know, any Kshatriya would like to have. So even Indra wanted to have, you know, but then he didn't protest, you know, when he said, you know, he was already, the Lord already told him, you know, you don't quarrel with, they are obsessed with something, let them have it, you know, be focused on the nectar. So both wanted to have it, but Lord said, let him have it, you know, like that. Text 4. Tat Airavato Nama Varanindro Vinirgata Nantas Chaturubhi Shvetadre Haran Bhagavato Mahim.
As the next result of the churning, the king of elephants named Airavato was generated. This elephant was white, and with its four tusks, it defied the glories of Kailash mountain, the glorious abode of Lord Shiva.
Right, so Airavat was the fourth object to appear. Right, first was the poison, second was the Surabhi cow, third was Uchheshrava the horse, fourth is this elephant Airavata. Right, and it's not mentioned here, but it said, again, both of them wanted to have. So Lord said, look, you know, you already have such a nice, beautiful horse. Hathi dhire dhire chal, isko lene do, you know. Indra ke paas bhi koi vahan ho jayega. Nahi to bechare aise hi road pe ghumte rahenge. Inko bhi thoda kuch. You know. So, yes. Okay, Kailash has four peaks. You can... Here it said that he was as white. Right? Tata Airavato Nama Var Indro Vinirgata. He was the king of the elephants, and Dantes Chaturbhi. Yeah, four tusks are there, and he was very shwet. And looked like Kailash. So you can draw some comparison. That's not. Right? He's as white as mountain Kailash, and you can say he has four tusks, there are four peaks. Right? Like that. And it was also very big, you know, elephant. And Airavat is the king of the elephants here. Okay, go to text 5. ऐरावंदादेस्तुष्टो दिग्गजाभवंस्तथा अभ्रमु परभृत्युष्टो च कृण्यस्तो अभवन्निपा.
Thereafter, O king, eight great elephants which could go in any direction were generated. They were headed by Ravana. Eight she elephants headed by Abhramu were also generated.
Okay, so all these elephants, eight elephants actually headed by Ravana was there, but there were seven more. So total eight elephants came, and eight she elephants also came. Right? So the Prabhupada gives the names of these elephants also, right? So they all were kept by the demigod. You know, not easy to maintain. So there is a demigods ko rakhne do. Inko kaun khilayega pilayega itna? Chalo chalo, devtaon ke paas ye sab log. Okay, text 6. Kastu vakhyam bhudratnam padmarago mahodade. तस्मिन् मनोस्पृहां चक्रे मुक्षो अलंकरणे हरिः ततो भवत् पारिजात सुरलोक विभूषणम् पुरायत्ते अर्थेनो योऽर्थे शश्वत भुवि यथा भवान्.
Generated thereafter from the great ocean were the celebrated James Kaustubha Mani and Padma Raga Mani. Lord Vishnu, to decorate his chest, desired to possess them. Generated next was the Parijata flower, which decorates the celestial planets. O King, as you fulfill the desires of everyone on this planet by fulfilling all ambitions, the Parijata fulfills the desires of everyone.
Okay, so two manis appeared, Kaustubha and Padma Raga Mani. You know, so and then you know, the demons, of course, you know, they would want everything for themselves, but then the Lord desired to have this money, you know, and the demigod said, you know, look, you know, how much he helped us, let him have, you know, this money at least. Demons, you know, madad kiya, thoda madad kiya Bhagwan ne bhi. मानना पड़ेगा, यू नो, लिटिल बिट राइट. चलो, लेट हिम हैव द मनी, राइट. सो डीमन एग्रीड टू गिव द मनी टू द लॉर्ड, एंड इट बिकेम ऑर्नामेंट फॉर दिस, राइट, फॉर हिम, फॉर द लॉर्ड. एंड नेक्स्ट अपीयर द पारिजात फ्लावर, राइट, द पारिजाता, राइट, or the Parijat tree, or yeah, the tree which gives Parijat flowers, right? And and this tree, right, the demon said, theek hai, phool patton se apne kuch kaam nahi, you know, ye sab devta log ko rakhne do, right? They are not much interested in flowers and all these things, you know, in that sense. Huh? Yeah, sattva gun things, you know, so ye sab phool patte chalo sab, ये आप लोग देखो सब आपके गार्डन में. सो देयरफॉर दिस वाज पजेस्ड बाय द डेमीगॉड्स, दे वर नॉट मच इंटरेस्टेड. टेक्स्ट 7. ततश्चाप्सरसो जात निष्ककंठया सुवाससा रमण्या स्वर्गिनां वल्गु गति लीलावलोकने.
Next there appeared the apsaras, who are used as prostitutes on the heavenly planets. They were fully decorated with golden ornaments and lockets, and were dressed in fine and attractive clothing. The apsaras move very slowly in an attractive style that bewilders the inhabitants of the heavenly planets.
Okay, so again these apsaras are described, they appeared and looks like they themselves chose heavenly planets to reside, right? So the detail is not given, like any fight or any trifle, but just mentioned that Ramanya Swarginam Valgu, they just chose heavenly planets to reside. ओके टेक्स्ट 8 ततश्चा विरभूत साक्षात् श्रीरमा भगवत्परा रंजयंती दिशाकांता विद्युत सौदामणि यथा
There appeared the goddess of fortune, Rama, who is absolutely dedicated to being enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She appeared like electricity, surpassing the lightning that might illuminate a marble mountain.
Okay, so now, again let's recount what all appeared. First, this is side, 111. First poison. The second, the Surbhi cow. Third, After Surbhi cow, Uchchashrava, the horse, right? Fourth, elephant Aravat, and there are many other elephants. There are fourth category. Yes, fifth. No, that is fourth under fourth only. All elephants are categorized in the fourth. Fifth, the two manis after that, Kaustubh and Padmarag, right? Fifth was the Manis. Yes, then sixth. No, the Parijata tree and the demigods took it. And Apsara was the seventh, right? They decided to reside in the heaven planets. And eighth goddess Rama, right? So if you see this, the 8th canto, 8th chapter, 8th verse describe the 8th appearance of, you know. So 8.8.8.8. So very auspicious appearance of Rama Devi. Right? So it's not by chance, you know. It's a beauty of Vyasadeva's composition. Right? Sorry. Huh? 8th word. Vidyut. Saudamani Yatha, that is the eighth word of the, that is the feature of that, right? This, there is a Saudam mountain, which is a marble mountain, it is mentioned, you know. Looks like, so these are manis which are reflected there and the mountain looks very beautiful. There is some kind of description like that. There is a mountain, Saudam. So there is a Saudamani, right, which illuminates this marble mountain is kind of beautified by this. It's therefore, that comparison given. And not just that, so you are saying the eighth word describe her feature, right? You are saying eighth word? Huh? Eighth word is? That is the eighth word? Is it? Okay, anyway, so, but another important thing is that, again, Sri Vaishnava scripture describes that that there are eight expansions of Lakshmi, known as Ashta Lakshmi, Adi Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi. In this way, there are eight names of Lakshmi have been described. That there are eight expansions of Lakshmi, Ashta Lakshmi, right? So many eight combines over here. Right? Like that. And, yeah. And Prabhupada says in the purport, the fifth line from the end, the first prerequisite for peace is that all wealth presented by Sri, the goddess of fortune, should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In peace formula, Prabhupada gives that verse also. We'll go to text 9. Tasyam chakru smiham sarve sa sura sura manava Rupaudarya Vayovarna Mahima Kshipta Chetasa
Because of her exquisite beauty, her bodily features, her youth, her complexion and her glories, everyone including the demigods, the demons and the human beings desired her. They were attracted because she is the source of all opulences.
Okay, so there are two forms of Lakshmi. Vishwanatha Thakur refers to two forms of Lakshmi. He will describe them in the future also. One is known as Sampat Roop Lakshmi, which gives opulence to, right? Which the whole world worships, right? And the other form of Lakshmi is Bhagavat Priyasa Lakshmi, right? Which is dear to the Lord and who never leaves Lord's lotus feet, right? So this will be discussed in future also. Sampat Roop Lakshmi and Bhagavat Priyasa Lakshmi. So Vishwanatha Thakur says that everyone became attracted to her, and this first Lakshmi is described as a kind of reflection, a shadow of the Bhagavat Prayasa Lakshmi, who never leaves Lord Lotus feet, never leaves the service of the Lord Lotus feet. The other second Lakshmi is like her reflection, which gives opulences. Right? So therefore, they were attracted to this Sampat Roop Lakshmi, everyone here, as mentioned in this text 9. Right? Sur, Asur, Manava, everyone there, they were all attracted. Because she is the source of all opulences. Right? Like that. So they became attracted to Lakshmi, which also is the form of the wealth. Sampat Roop Lakshmi, the form of wealth. Text 10. Tasyasanam aninne Mahendro mahadadbutam Murti matyashari shrestha
The king of heaven, Indra, brought a suitable seating place for goddess of fortune. All the rivers of sacred water, such as the Ganges and Yamuna, personified themselves, and each of them brought pure water and golden water pots for Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune.
Okay, so now Abhishek of Lakshmi ji will be described. Right, so all the rivers personified, they brought water in the golden water pots. Right? Just one point in the last purport, again, Prabhupada points out that how there is only one paragraph in the 8th or 10th line. If one wants the favor of the goddess of fortune, Mother Lakshmi, because she is by nature Bhagavat Para, one must keep her with Narayan. Right? So basically the devotees, they worship Bhagavat Prayasa Lakshmi, and the reflection other Lakshmi also remains. Prabhupada said the devotees are blessed with opulence. But those who only want that shadow reflection, the opulence, there Prabhupada said they are frustrated in their attempts. Right? Like that. That is pointed in the purport by Prabhupada. Okay, we go to text 11. So the you can read the Abhishek ceremony, we can read the verses itself.
The land became a person and collected all the drugs and herbs needed for installing the deity. The cows delivered 5 products, namely milk, yogurt, ghee, urine and cow dung. And spring personified collected everything produced in spring during the months of Chaitra and Vaishak, April and May.
Okay, so again, Panchagavya and other ingredients were collected. Again, Prabhupada glorifies the contribution of Mother Cow. Okay, go ahead.
The great sages performed the bathing ceremony of the goddess of fortune as directed in the authorized scriptures. The Gandharvas chanted all auspicious Vedic mantras, and the professional women dancers very nicely danced and sang authorized songs prescribed in the Vedas.
Okay.
The clouds in personified form beat various types of drums known as mridangas, panavas, murajas and anakas. They also blew conch shells and bangles known as gomukhas and played flutes and stringed instruments. The combined sound of these instruments was tumultuous.
Right, so the clouds personified were playing mridangas, you know. Must be making very loud sound.
Thereafter, the great elephants from all the directions carried big water jugs full of Ganges water and bathed the goddess of fortune to the accompaniment of the Vedic mantras chanted by learned Brahmanas. While thus being bathed, the goddess of fortune maintained her original style with a lotus flower in her hand, and she appeared very beautiful. The goddess of fortune is the most chaste, for she does not know anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay, so Prabhupada describes two words used in this verse, two words. One is Devi, first line, Tato Abhi Shishur Devi. And then the other word used is Sati, the second line, Shriyam Padma Karam Satim. Right? So both the words Prabhupada explains. Prabhupada says Devi in the fourth line of the purport, Lakshmi is addressed here as Devi, because she supplies all opulences to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. Another meaning of Devi has been given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Radharani is addressed as Devi. Think Devi kahi dyotmana paramasundari. Right? Very beautiful. Devi also refers to very effulgent, beautiful. Right? That is also goddess of fortune. Okay, and then Sati, Mother Lakshmi is addressed in this verse as Sati, which means supremely chaste. Right? She is Bhagavat Para. She never diverts her attention from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Bhagavat Para. She always fixed in the service to Lord. Right? There is a verse in third canto which describes third canto, 15th chapter, 21st verse. She rupini kunanti charanar bindam leelam bujen hari sadmani mukta dosha sam nakshate sfrika kudya upetahemni sammarjati vayad anugrahane annyatna. Right? Describes how she is always engaged in the service of the Lord, lotus feet, and she has a lotus in her hands. She is free from all faults, and she seems to be sweeping the floor, which is already clean. Why? Right? Because yad anugrahane anyatna. She is, wants to draw Lord's attention only. Right? So therefore, that's her chastity, and her Bhagavat Para is glorified in that verse also. Right? That's a good verse to study in this context. 3:15:21. Text 15. Read the translation.
The ocean, which is the source of all valuable jewels, supplied the upper and lower portions of a yellow silken garment. The predominating deity of the water, Varuna, represented flower garlands surrounded by six-legged bumblebees drunken with honey.
Yes, go ahead.
Vishwakarma, one of the Prajapatis, supplied varieties of decorated ornaments. The goddess of learning, Saraswati, supplied a necklace. Lord Brahma supplied a lotus flower. And the inhabitants of Nagaloka supplied earrings.
Go ahead.
Thereafter, Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, having been properly celebrated with an auspicious ritualistic ceremony, began moving about, holding in her hand a garland of lotus flowers, which were surrounded by humming bumblebees. Smiling with shyness, her cheeks decorated by her earrings, she looked extremely beautiful.
Okay. So, again Vishwanath Chakra Thakur has described that that these two Lakshmis, right? One is, as we discussed, Bhagavat Prayasi, and the other one is Sampat Rupa. They both appeared from the ocean of milk, and they combined. Right? So now, the Sampat Rupa Lakshmi, which gives opulence, which is like a reflection, she went to search a suitable husband. She's actually the one, you know, the reflection one. But actually, she wants to glorify, she will point out fault in everyone only to glorify Supreme Lord Vishnu, the Lord Achyut. Right? So that's how. Right? But it's the Sampat Rupa Lakshmi which went for, because Bhagavat Prayasi Lakshmi, she never leaves the service of the Lord Lotus Feet. Right? So that is also described. So then Prabhupada says, the goddess of fortune, Mother Lakshmi ji, accepted the ocean of milk as her father, but she perpetually rests on the bosom of Narayan. Although she accepts ocean of milk as her father, but she perpetually resides with Narayan on his chest. So therefore, as soon as he appeared, she immediately went to Lord Narayan, to the chest of Lord Narayan, it's mentioned. So another point, important point mentioned about Lakshmi ji is, though her reflection, which seems to be materially situated, gives wealth to Brahma and others, right? So Lakshmi ji is also sometimes counted as one of the demigoddess, you know, in this world, the Chanchala. That feature is this reflection feature, Sampat Rupa Lakshmi. So Vishwanath Thakur says, though she seems to be materially situated and offering wealth to Brahma and others, you know, various demigods and worshippers, even this form of the Lakshmi is actually beyond the gunas. Right? She is not like other demigods who are within the gunas. She is also beyond the guna, and she is the personification of spiritual wealth, Vishwanath Thakur says. This Sampat Rupa Lakshmi, the reflection feature, who is going to search for a suitable husband. Read the next translation.
Which were symmetrical and nicely situated, were covered with sandalwood pulp and kumkum powder, and her waist was very thin. As she walked here and there, her ankle bells jingling softly, she appeared like a creeper of gold.
Okay.
While walking among the Gandharvas, Yakshas, Asuras, Siddhas, Charanas and denizens of heaven, Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, was scrutinizingly examining them, but she could not find anyone naturally endowed with all good qualities. None of them was devoid of faults, and therefore...
complete this.
And therefore she could not take shelter of any of them.
Okay, so... Vilokayanti nirvadyam atmana. So she is... moving among all these Gandharvas, Siddhas, Yakshas, Charanas, you know, trying to find a person who is nirvadya. Right? Nirvadya is faultless. Any other place nirvadya word comes? Any verse? You remember? Huh? Nirvadya word comes. Right? So the nirvadya word without fault, it appears in number of verses. So she's trying to see anyone who is free of the fault and endowed with all good qualities. Right? Padam dhruvam cha abhichari sadgunam. She wants to see a person who is nirvadya, has no faults, and is filled with all good qualities. Right? But na pishta abhipeyadishu na anvidanta. Right? So Lord says, but she could not find any such person. Right? She could not find any such person. Prabhupada says, in other words, the purport, the last line, Narayan, the natural husband of Lakshmi, cannot be superseded by anyone in this material world. Like that. Okay, let's read now the text 22. We'll recite. Nunam tapo yasena manyu nirjayo. Gyanam kochitta chana sangavarjitam. Kashin maham tasena kama nirjaya. Saishvara kim parato vipashraya.
Goddess of fortune, examining the assembly, thought in this way. Someone who has undergone great austerity has not yet conquered anger. Someone possesses knowledge, but he has not conquered material desires. Someone is a very great personality, but he cannot conquer lusty desires. Even a great personality depends on something else. How then can he be the supreme controller?
Okay, so now in 3 verses, 20-22, Lakshmiji reasons to herself for not selecting anyone. Right? And so the reason establishes that Supreme Lord is having all good qualities and no one can be compared to him. Right? So therefore these 3 are beautiful verses. So what are the first line says? Nunam tapo yasya na manyu nirjayo. Right? Someone may have done a lot of tapa, great in austerity, but he may not have conquered his anger. Who? Any example? Durvasa Muni. Right? Lot of tapa, but he has not conquered his anger. Right? Even Vishwamitra Muni also fell to anger. Very severe tapa. Right? Sorry? Lord Shiva has his own transcendental reasons many times. He is not like one of the ordinary living entities. Many other aspects to Lord Shiva. Okay, then he says, Jnanam kuchit, someone is very advanced in knowledge. Jnanam kuchit, tach chana sangavarjitam. Someone may have a lot of knowledge, but he may not be free from material desire. Sangavarjitam. You may still be attached to material things. Example. Daksha is very advanced in knowledge. Daksha example comes ahead actually. Right? Daksha is having a very high post and all that, you know. So the example is given of Brihaspati actually. What else example you thought of? Possesses knowledge, but he has not conquered material desires. Okay, Ravana had a lot of knowledge. Yes, many demons are like that. Right? But even very, those who even possess, we can say that. So another person who has other good qualities along with knowledge, right? So demons probably will fit in everywhere, you know, in one sense. Is Brihaspati, one nice example. Because Brihaspati means like someone whose knowledge is called Brihaspati. But Brihaspati could not control his senses, right? He wanted to enjoy the wife of his own brother. Right? So, in fact, he enjoyed actually the wife of his own brother, right? Mentioned in which canto? Yeah. Ninth canto, right? It comes in ninth canto. So like that. He has a lot of knowledge but could not control his senses. And then Kaschin Maham Tasya Na Kama Nirjaya. Someone is a very great personality but he could not conquer his lust. Example is given of Lord Brahma. He's like the greatest personality in this universe, you know. There can be many examples, but this is like the highest example, you know, which is very striking example. Pinpointing example. Who is greater than him? But he also, right? Kaschin maham tasya na kama nirjaya. Very great, but could not conquer his kam, his lust. And then, so Ishvara kim parato vipashraya. Said, what is the, someone be very great controller, you know, Ishvara. Okay, he's in control of everything. But still he depends upon others, right? So Lord Indra, Mahindra, he's a great controller, you know. the heaven, but he himself depends upon other. Often he himself finds himself in difficulty. So therefore, in this way, Lakshmi ji is rejecting one by one. एक एक करके विकेट गिर रहा है राइट ओके 21 धर्मा कुचित तत्र न भूत सौहृदम त्यागा कुचित तत्र न मुक्ति कारणम वीर्यम न पुंशोस्ते अजवेग निष्कृतम न ही द्वितीयो गुण संग वर्जिता.
Someone may possess full knowledge of religion but still not be kind to all living entities. In someone, whether human or demigod, there may be renunciation, but that is not the cause of liberation. Someone may possess great power and yet be unable to check the power of eternal time. Someone else may have renounced attachment to the material world, yet he cannot compare to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is completely freed from the influence of material modes of nature.
Okay, again she points out, now dharma kuchit, right? So someone, dharma kuchit tatrana bhuta sauhridam. Someone may be very full of religion, you know, very religious person, but still not kind to all living entities. Example, who is very religious but not kind to all living entities. Prabhupada says all Christians. Muslims, they may pose themselves very religious. Even Prabhupada says, Hindus, Prabhupada also says, you know, Hindus, Christians, all those who profess to be religious, but they kill poor animals. Prabhupada gives their example. And Vishwanath Thakur has given the example of Shukracharya. He possesses full knowledge of religion, Prabhupada says, dharma kuchit. He has full knowledge of religion, but he is not kind to all living entities. Right? Because he empowers the demons who trouble living entities. Then, tyaga kuchit tatran mukti karanam. There may be someone may possess a lot of renunciation, but he may not actually strive for liberation. Daksha is mentioned. Right? Daksha also executed tapa and everything. Right? He sent his own children for also renunciation, but not for liberation. Right? Daksha example is given by Vishwanath Thakur. Then viryam na pumsosti ajavega nishkritam. Someone may be someone may possess great power, viryam, but he may not be able to check the power of eternal time. Right? Someone may possess great power but unable to check the power of eternal time. Many demons example can be given. Again, Prabhupada gives example of Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. They were very powerful. But in due course of time, they were killed. Right? Sorry? Yeah. There was a great power, but the power of the time superseded. Right? So many examples can be given. Vishwanath Thakur gives the example of Shumb and Shumb. These two demons were killed by Mother Parvati, you know, or goddess. Yes. Except Lord Vishnu, right? Who is the controller of the time? Right? So in this category, everyone, all the great powerful people will fit in this category. No one can check the power of eternal time, right? Okay. Then someone may be very renounced, right? But he cannot be compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Nahi dityo gunasang varjita. Some are devoid of attraction to material and spiritual qualities, but they cannot be a suitable companion. Gunasang varjita, nahi dityo means they are not a right companion. Right? This example is given of the four Kumaras. You know, there are they they may be devoid of all qualities, right? But they are not a proper companion for Mother Lakshmi. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, some are detached from material spiritual qualities like the Kumaras, but they cannot be a suitable companion because her spiritual form and fragrance would be useless for them. Because they have nothing to do with any qualities. They are not suitable. Mother Lakshmi is filled with all transcendental qualities, right? And there are other renunciants who have nothing to do with anything, you know, who are nirvana sukh. What will they, you know? They are not a right companion for a person filled with transcendental qualities, Mother Lakshmi, right? So in this way, that is explained. Okay, we go ahead. Text 22, the last in this verse. Kochichirayur nahishila mangalam. Kochit tadapyastina vedyam ayusha. Natrobayam kutra chasopya mangala. Mangala kaschana kangshate himam.
One may have longevity but not have auspiciousness or good behavior. Someone may have both auspiciousness and good behavior, but the duration of his life is not fixed. Although such demigods as Lord Shiva have eternal life, they have inauspicious habits like living in crematoriums. And even if others are well qualified in all respects, they are not devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay, so example of each. Someone has a long life, but some may have longevity, but not have auspiciousness and good behavior. Vishwanath Thakur gives the example of Bali Maharaj. Some like Bali have long life but do not have good conduct or auspiciousness. By having a demonic nature, their conduct is not proper. They are without auspiciousness by being the enemy of Indra. By their position, although his Bali Maharaj is counted as a Mahajan and he taught us, you know, but still it's mentioned that because of his situation, right, he cannot be considered completely auspicious. He is situated, right? He is associated with the demons. That point is mentioned by Vishwanath Thakur. And then someone may have both auspiciousness and good behavior, but the duration of life is not fixed. Vishwanath Thakur gives the example of sons and daughters of Manu. They have both good conduct and auspicious qualities, but being human, their life is short, right? Not fixed. And then Lord Shiva has a good conduct and long life, but his activities are not auspicious because and again, this is external consideration, you know. You know, she rejects, either, you know, Lord Shiva is all auspicious actually for all living entities, but external situation is not auspicious. So something or the other is lacking, either externally or internally, right? Like that. So someone is internally good, but externally not, you know, situated properly. So like that. So all the perfect combination is not, you know, found in anyone, right, in this world. Then, what is the next point? And others, even if they are qualified in all respect, they are not devotees of the Lord, is mentioned. The last line Vishwanath Thakur translates, the person with actual auspicious qualities does not care for me. The last line, Sumangala kascha na kangshate himam. So if you see 11 objections she talks, and the last she says, one who is sumangala, auspicious, and every one with all good qualities, he is not desiring me. So she points out to the Supreme Lord. She glorifies Lord Vishnu in the last line. Okay? Vishnu Thakur says, who has actual auspiciousness does not care for me. Disregard for all things is here considered as a great quality. Okay? So if you see, one by one, 11 wickets down, you know, in one sense. 11, there are three verses, 12 lines. The 11 lines, one by one, not this, not this. And this is actually the Lord, who is all auspicious, he is not in need of me. He doesn't care. Right? He is completely full in all respect in himself. So that is in the last line. Okay. So, read the translations.
Sri Goswami continued, in this way, after full deliberation, the goddess of fortune accepted Mukunda as her husband, because although he is independent and not in want of her, he possesses all transcendental qualities and mystic powers and is therefore the most desirable.
Yeah, read ahead.
Approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the goddess of fortune placed upon his shoulder the garland of newly grown lotus flowers, which was surrounded by humming bumblebees searching for honey. Then, expecting to get a place on the bosom of the Lord, she remained standing by his side, her face smiling in shyness.
Okay, let's recite these verses. Tasya shriyastri jagato janako jananya. Maksho nivasam akarot paramam vibhute. Shri swaha praja sakurune nanirikshanena. Yatrasthitadhiyat sadipatim. Sadipatim strilokan.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the father of the three worlds, and his bosom is the residence of Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, the proprietor of all opulences. The goddess of fortune, by her favorable and merciful glance, can increase the opulence of the three worlds, along with their inhabitants and their directors, the demigods.
So, Prabhupada says, according to the desire of Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, the Supreme Personality of Godhead made his bosom her residence so that by her glance she could favor everyone, including the demigods and ordinary human beings. In other words, since the goddess of fortune stays on the bosom of Narayan, she naturally sees any devotee who worships Narayan. Right? So, she is glancing upon any devotee who worships Narayan. When the goddess of fortune understands that a devotee is in favor of devotional service to Narayan, she is naturally inclined to bless the devotees with all opulences. The Kamis try to receive the favor and mercy of Lakshmi, but because they are not devotees of Narayan, their opulence is flickering. The opulence of devotees who are attached to the service of Narayan is not like the opulence of Kamis. The opulence of devotees is as permanent as the opulence of Narayan himself. Text 26. Read the translation.
The inhabitants of Gandharva Loka and Charan Loka then took the opportunity to play their musical instruments such as conch shells, bugles and drums. They began dancing and singing along with their wives.
Go ahead, keep reading.
Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the great sage Angira and similar directors of universal management showered flowers and chanted mantras, indicating the transcendental glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the demigods, along with the Prajapatis and their descendants, being blessed by Lakshmiji's glance upon them, were immediately enriched with good behavior and transcendental qualities. Thus they were very much satisfied.
Yes, go ahead.
O king, because of being neglected by the goddess of fortune, the demons and rakshasas were depressed, bewildered and frustrated, and thus they become shameless.
Okay, go ahead.
Next appeared Varuni, the lotus-eyed goddess who controls drunkards. With the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the demons headed by Bali Maharaj, took possession of this young girl.
Okay, so Varuna Devi, Varuna means liquor, which is the food of Varuna is mentioned. Okay, so this is the ninth, right? Eighth, on the sequence eighth, goddess Lakshmi appeared. And now the ninth is Varuni, and the demons took hold of her. Okay. Then, go ahead, read.
O king, thereafter, while the sons of Kashyapa, both demons and demigods, were engaged in churning the ocean of milk, a very wonderful male person appeared.
Yes, go ahead.
He was strongly built. His arms were long, stout and strong. His neck, which was marked with three lines, resembled a conch shell. His eyes were reddish and his complexion was blackish. He was very young. He was garlanded with flowers and his entire body was fully decorated with various ornaments. He was dressed in yellow garments and wore brightly polished earrings made of pearls. The tips of his hair were anointed with oil and his chest was very broad. His body had all good features and he was stout and strong like a lion. And he was decorated with bangles. In his hand he carried a jug filled to the top with nectar.
Okay, so who was he? Dhanvantri. Dhanvantri brought this tenth object, nectar. Right? So even the tenth canto of Bhagavatam is also like a nectar, you know. There's some similarity. Right? So nectar came tenth in the number. Okay.
Person was Dhanvantari, a plenary portion of a plenary portion of Lord Vishnu. He was very conversant with the science of medicine. And as one of the demigods, he was permitted to take a share in sacrifices.
Okay. So Madhvacharya says, Dhanvantari, who was carrying the jug containing nectar, was a plenary incarnation of the Godhead. Although he was very strong, the asuras were able to take the jug of nectar from his hands. Go ahead.
Upon seeing Dhanvantari carrying the jug of nectar, the demons desiring the jug and its contents immediately snatched it away by force.
How they were able to snatch? He was so strong and portion of Vishnu, he was still able to snatch. Because by the will of the Lord himself, right? Lord had to appear in the form of Mohini Murthy also. Yes, go ahead.
The jug of nectar was carried off by the demons. The demigods were morose. Thus they sought shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari.
Yes, go ahead.
When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always desires to fulfill the ambitions of his devotees, saw that the demigods were morose, he said to them, "Do not be aggrieved. By my own energy, I shall bewilder the demons by creating a quarrel among them. In this way, I shall fulfill your desire to have the nectar."
Okay, so the Lord gave them assurance. Yes.
O king, a quarrel then arose among the demons over who would get the nectar first. Each of them said, "You cannot drink it first. I must drink it first. Me first, not you."
So Vishnu Thakur said, they said repetitively, "I shall drink first since I come from a good family." "No, you cannot drink first because you come from a bad family," you know, whatever. So all of them, Mithakalir abhute sham tadarthe tarsha chetasam aham purvam natvam natvam iti prabho. Right? And there is a verse, similar verse in 10th canto where the cowherd boys also, when they are playing, they run toward Krishna. Who will touch Krishna first? Who will touch Krishna first? So they also say aham purvam iti samshire remire. So something like they were playing. You can check the exact word, I forgot. But the third line is the same in that verse, you know. How they were playing and they said, aham purvam, by saying, "I will touch Krishna first, I will touch Krishna first." Right? But they didn't say natvam, natvam actually. You know, they said, I will touch. And His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying, they are saying, I will touch only to inspire others that they will go and touch. And they will become filled with the joy actually. Right? Not with the mood of natvam, natvam. Right? So therefore, when there is a competition in devotees, aham purvam, aham purvam, I will do the service first, you know, whatever. It is not with the purpose of natvam, but with the person of you do it, you know, and I'll be happier if you do it, you know, to inspire each of us to serve Krishna first. Like that. I'm just checking the exact verse of the Bhagavatam. यदि दूरगतः कृष्णो वनशोवेक्षणायतम् अहम् पूर्वम् अहम् पूर्वम् इति संस्पृश्य रे मिरे. Right, when Krishna would go far, you know, at some place to see the vanashobha, you know, and then the children would say, let's go toward Krishna and see who touches Krishna first. So they would say, aham purvam, I will touch Krishna first. Iti samsprishya re mire. Right? In this way, they enjoyed touching Krishna and competing to touch Krishna. So there is a contrast verse of this in the 10th canto. Okay.
Some of the demons said, all the demigods have taken part in churning the ocean of milk. Now, as everyone has an equal right to partake in any public sacrifice, according to the eternal religious system, it is befitting that the demigods now have a share of the nectar. O king, in this way, the weaker demons forbade the stronger demons to take the nectar.
Okay, so, right, so the weaker demons said, no, 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 they have also participated because they could not get, you know. They said, they have also labored hard. We have to follow eternal religious principles. Right? So they brought religion into discussion. Right? For them, whatever is useful to... Remember, we studied that many demons, they seem to be very religious, but they are religious only as long as this religion is anukulasya sankalpa, pratikulasya varjanam. Anything goes against sense gratification, whether it's religion or anything, they are against that. As long as religion satisfies their sense gratification, they are religious. Right? So demons, you know, some of the demons became quite religious here. Right? So, go ahead, read the translation.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who can counteract any unfavorable situation, then assumed the form of an extremely beautiful woman. This incarnation as a woman, Mohini Murti, was most pleasing to the mind. Her complexion resembled in color a newly grown blackish lotus, and every part of her body was beautifully situated. Her ears were equally decorated with earrings. Her cheeks were very beautiful, her nose was raised, and her face full of youthful luster. Her large breast made her waist seem very thin. Attracted by the aroma of her face and body, bumblebees hummed around her, and thus her eyes were restless. Her hair, which was extremely beautiful, was garlanded with mallika flowers. Her attractively constructed neck was decorated with a necklace and other ornaments. Her arms were decorated with bangles. Her body was covered with a clean sari, and her breasts seemed like islands in an ocean of beauty. Her legs were decorated with ankle bells. Because of the movements of her eyebrows, as she smiled with shyness and glanced over the demons, all the demons were saturated with lusty desires, and every one of them desired to possess her.
Okay, so the Supreme Lord, he assumed this most enchanting, right, womanly form. Right, to bewilder the demons. Right, so in the next chapter we'll discuss the activities of Mohini Murti. Jaya Granthra Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jaya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Nitaya Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna.